Well, worship team, I want to thank you for being obedient to God to share the word of the Lord to us through song. It brings me back to a very precious place. When I was 8 years old, I remember hearing the simple lyrics of that song, and although I didn't understand it in that simplicity, I gave my heart to the Lord at 8 years old singing that song. And my one summer that I ever went to a Christian camp, Little Salvation Army camp in Ontario, so thank you for that. This morning, Kevin, you're right. Some of us have come with concerns and baggage, as you mentioned, and things from the week that have been heavy on us. And for some of you, it's been difficult to worship this morning, and I recognize that. I appreciate that. We want to extend condolences to Sandra Hewitt and her family, as her father passed away, and the funeral service was yesterday, and Albert and Doris Voles are related, as he was a brother-in-law to them, and so certainly they grieve, and encourage them, give them a hug, and certainly pray for them, as I know those prayers will go a far distance. And Brian Wright mentioned this morning that his mother has kind of rounded a corner and is doing a little bit better than she had been, and so if you're on the prayer chain, you would have heard that we've been praying for her. But we have many things to pray for, so why don't we bow and go to God just now. Father, this morning we, your people, recognize our need for you. Lord, yes, many of us have come to a saving knowledge of you, but we don't want to ignore you. We need you in our lives every day. And Father, many of us have very practical needs in our lives, especially for those right now who are grieving. Father, as we've mentioned with the Hewitts and the Bowles and other people who had perhaps known this family member, Lord, we ask that you would bless these families, give them exactly and precisely what they need, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Father, we pray for Brian Wright's mother. We pray for other relatives, Elmer Cooper's relatives, and Donna Penner's relatives, and so many others, the Sandine's daughter. Lord, we think of all these people, and our hearts are grieved and concerned. And Lord, we recognize that if sin had never come into the world, we wouldn't be facing so many of these things. But Lord, we thank you that although sin entered the world, you made a way for us to come to know you and love you and fellowship with you. And yet our bodies will fail. And so, Father, we ask for your divine touch of healing as you would see fit on these individuals. Lord, give us the grace and the patience to be able to walk with them and the exact words to say. Father, this morning, we think of our brothers, Vince and Herman, and other individuals who have been at the prison system. And we want to ask, Lord, that your blessing, that your fellowship would also be with them wherever they are this morning. I don't know their exact situations or their needs. But Lord, even for those who are visiting us this morning, we bless you. We thank you that they're here with us, and we value them as a part of our congregation. Father, I'm sure there are other needs that we haven't heard yet. We just ask, Lord, that you'd be ministering to our congregation with every need that you see. And so, Father, we ask this morning that as Peter comes and brings us the word, that you would anoint him and allow the words of God through him to challenge our lives. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Peter.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Thank you, worship team. Leading us into worship in such a wonderful way. A few years ago, I took a number of teens from Buffalo Narrows to Probe. Now, Probe is an annual youth event over at the Nipawin Bible Institute. And I thought of the environment that they would be in. They'd be surrounded by mostly Christians. There'd be Christian music, wholesome activities. Be talking and learning about the Lord. To be meeting new Christian friends, a place where you could bow your head and thank God for your meal and not feel out of place, or where you could talk about your plans to go to Bible school and have people say great instead of saying why would you do that. I was reminded of my Bible school days back, that was back in another life, a long time ago, and how we were sheltered from the world around us. It got so that when you went into town, I went to Karen Fort, and so we went to Moose Jaw, and you just went into a store or just into town somewhere, and you heard people swearing, it would just hit you like a ton of bricks. I mean, it just hit you that you weren't used to that. And now I find that I hardly notice things like that. I guess I've gotten accustomed to the world that I'm in. I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, welcome to the real world. We usually say that to somebody who's complaining because they got ripped off somehow, or they feel they've been cheated or treated unfairly or something like that. And we say, well, that's the way it is. Welcome to the real world. You know, you took your car to the garage to get the doohickey changed on it, and they charged you $400 for it, and what a ripoff, you know. So you complain about it to the guys at work. Or we say, it's just not fair. I was better qualified than Bob for that job, but he got it because he's friends with the boss's son, and so he got the job. It's just not fair. Our daughter Jennifer, she got married last summer. I've got to tell a Jennifer story. She's not here, but I'll tell her after that I told a Jennifer story. But she got married last summer, and she soon woke up to the fact that her and Emery like to eat three meals a day. And groceries cost money. Now, according to Jennifer, this is a real waste of money. Because that's money that could be used to go to the mountains on a skiing trip or, you know, on a holiday somewhere. She learned that things were a little different, you know. So, well, welcome to the real world, Jen. That's the way it is. And I tell her that all the time. Our scripture today, I'm going to just read a few verses from 1 John chapter 2. And I didn't put anything on the PowerPoint. And so if you want to find a Bible in the pew, or you've brought your Bible with you, 1 John chapter 2, we'll read a few verses there, and then later on we'll go to the Gospel of John for a bit as well. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. What is meant by the world? We're not talking here about the physical earth, the lakes, the trees, the animals, the farmland, the golf courses. But we're talking about people who are controlled by Satan instead of by God. We're talking about self-centered, ungodly attitudes and goals that are based on pride and covetousness instead of on God's will. It's a result of sin entering the world. The world is opposite to God's people. You could think of it as the church versus the world. The world is opposite of God's people. So what are some of the characteristics of the world? Well, there's sinful cravings, lust, boasting, pride, anger, materialism, hate, wickedness. These are just some of the characteristics of the world. Whenever God is not the center of a person's life, we see these characteristics in varying degrees, but with God, sin is sin. And unfortunately, this can happen with Christians too, not just with the unsaved. We can start getting some of those worldly characteristics. So how should we handle this? Should we try to segregate ourselves from the world? Should we try to live in a sheltered environment like Bible school was for me back a long time ago? Should we try to do that? Should we just segregate ourselves so that we won't get caught up in those worldly characteristics? Is that what God wants? No, I think we'd all agree He doesn't want that. We go to church and we go to Bible school to learn about God. We learn about how He wants us to live. We learn about what He wants us to do. He wants us in the world, but not to live like the world. We're not to be part of the world. It's kind of like oil and water in the same pail. You put oil and water in the same pail, the oil floats to the top. They're in the same pail, and yet they're separate. God wants us in the world to be His witnesses, but we're to be separate from the world. Debbie was saved in high school because there were Christians in the school there. They were in the world, they were in that school, and yet they were different. They were not part of the world. And as a result, Debbie was saved. In the Gospel of John, there's a number of verses, and you can turn there if you wish, or I'll just read them to you if you want to just listen. John 17, 14 to 19. This is Jesus praying for His disciples. In John chapter 17, 14 to 19, Jesus says, "I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that You take them out of the world, but that You protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify Myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Jesus said, "My prayer is not that You take them out of the world, but that You protect them from the evil one." They are set apart. They're in the world and yet set apart. That's what God wants us to do, to be in the world and yet to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be the people He wants us to be. Just back a couple chapters in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 19. John 15, 18 to 19. Jesus says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. The world hates you because you do not belong to the world." Let me ask you a question. Is this true in your life? Does the world hate you because you do not belong? I'll ask you another question. Does the world know that you don't belong? Does the world know that you don't belong to the world? What's your testimony like to the people that you hang out with, the people that you work with? Does the world know that you aren't part of the world? Or are you camouflaged to blend in? In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." I've been around airports all my life, just about, and airports have traditionally had a rotating light beacon that would shine at night, and it's a light beacon that goes around and around, and when you saw that at night, you knew that that was the airport. No mistake, no doubt about it, you saw that's the airport. Well, a number of years ago, 10, 12, 15 years ago, a lot of the airports switched to strobe lights. They're cheaper to maintain, there's less maintenance to them. So we put up strobe lights instead of these rotating lights that go around and around. These strobe lights, they blend right in with all the other lights around. So if you go to a city, you go to Saskatoon now, and the airport, if it's identified with a strobe light, well, there's strobe lights on all over the place. There's strobe lights on buildings and towers, and it's really hard to see the airport. It doesn't stand out like it used to. What about your light? Is it like that? Does it stand out like that rotating beacon really identified an airport? How bright is your light? Or is it mixed in with all those artificial lights of the world? Is it hidden from sight? We sang a kid's song this morning. I love it. I used to sing that song all the time up in Buffalo Narrows. Kids just loved it. Another kid's song about this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And the one verse says, "Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. Is that true of your life? Is your light hidden under a bushel, or are you really letting it shine? Can the world see your light? So we live in the world, but separate from it, separate from the worldly attitudes and the worldly desires. And if we live that way, then everything will go right, right? No, that's wrong. They don't go right according to what we think right is. We're going to have troubles and trials. Another verse in John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we, as Christians, when we really shine our light for the Lord, and the people know that we don't belong to the world, we'll probably face some ridicule. Maybe you faced that this morning for coming to church instead of going to the lake this morning or staying at the lake. You're going to church? Look at the weather, though. I mean, you're going to sit in church today instead of sitting on the beach? Maybe for not cheating in school on your exams, for not drinking, maybe for not partying with drinking at parties with your friends, maybe for not trying to get as many possessions as you can. Maybe your friends say, like, why wouldn't you get, you know, go and buy that, or why wouldn't you get that extra, you know, work towards that promotion so you can get that, you know, those extra things that you want. Why wouldn't you do that? Maybe you get ridiculed for giving money to the church, like tithing. Like, you do that? Like, why would you do that? And so maybe you're ridiculed for that. And there's all kinds of things that if we live a Christian life, that we may face some ridicule. We face trials and we face injury and sickness and death of loved ones that was mentioned in our prayer this morning. We face these things. It's part of living our Christian life. We're not exempt from trials and heartache, but in all things we're to trust God and even thank Him because He's in control. He'll carry us through and He'll make us stronger. We know the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's all part of living our Christian life in this world. We face hardships and we face trials and we face ridicule. But through it all, we learn to lean on Him, lean on Jesus through it all. I said that the world and the church, it was like having oil and water in the same pail. What if you try and mix the water and the oil together? Well, you might say you can't do it, you can't mix water and oil, but you can do it. You can mix them. It's called an emulsion. And you can mix water and oil together. Now they don't mix really well, but they for various reasons, and it can be done. It's like in your vehicle engine. If you take your antifreeze, which is your water component, and you take your oil in the engine, if they, unfortunately, sometimes they get together. They're not supposed to, but if you have problems with your motor in your vehicle, and the two get together, and they'll mix together. And if you've ever seen that, it's a milky, ugly-looking substance. It's really ugly, and it can wreck your engine. What if Christians try to mix with the world? What if we try to do that? We try to mix. Why do we try to be like the world with the same motives and desires? Well, I'll tell you, it's ugly and it can wreck your engine. It's really ugly and it can wreck your engine. Just like that antifreeze and oil mixing together. It's ugly and it can wreck your engine. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. We're not to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God expects us to be different. And if you are different, you're going to be ridiculed. The world expects people to look a certain way, to dress a certain way, to act a certain way. Anyone who doesn't measure up to the world's standards will likely be ridiculed. In our scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have a warning here. We're not to love the world or the things of the world. Those desires, those cravings, those attitudes, we're not to love them. The verse says we can't love the world and love God at the same time. If we love the world, then we're in a backslidden state in our Christian life. And James chapter 4, verse 4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. If you choose to be a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Remember, we're talking, when we say the world there, we're talking about the worldly attitudes, the worldly desires and cravings. God really does expect us to live in the world and yet be separate from it. The only way we can do that is by total commitment to Him. 1 John 4, 4 says, You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We can overcome. We can live the way God wants us to live in this world, because He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So what is the real world? Welcome to the real world. What is the real world? It's a world where we are called to be a shining light for God, to do His will, to reach others for Him. How do you measure up? If you measure up great according to the world's standards, then you probably aren't measuring up very good according to God's standards. There's a story in the book of Daniel chapter 5 about God writing a message on the wall for King Belshazzar. Belshazzar was a self-centered king. He had no thought of the true God except to mock him. And he was having a party one evening, and he brought the golden goblets that they had stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. And they brought them, and everyone at the party, they were drinking out of the goblets. They were praising their idols of gold and silver and wood and stone and making fun of God. And suddenly a human hand appeared and wrote a message on the wall. There was four words on the wall. Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin was written on the wall. And that message said that Belshazzar had been weighed in the scales, the balancing scales. He'd been weighed in the scales, and he'd been found lacking. He didn't measure up according to God's standards. His kingdom was going to be divided, and his life was going to be ended. Just back to that verse in Romans again, Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Belshazzar didn't measure up. What about you? What if God wrote something on your wall today and you went home today, this evening? What if something was written on your wall by God, a message from God? What would He write? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know that You do want us to live in the world and yet be separate from it. You have a job for us to do, Father, a job to be Your people here, to live for You, to do Your will, to be a shining light for You, to reach out to those around us who don't know You and to bring them to You. Father, You have work for us to do in this world. Help us not to get sidetracked by the desires of the world. Help us to keep our eyes on You, our focus on You. And Father, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we can be the people You want us to be. Father, I just pray that You would give us strength. I pray that for those of us who may be struggling in certain areas of our life, that we would commit those areas over to You and give You complete control of them. And Father, I just pray that You would help us to be the people that You want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.